You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
The city of Milwaukee, like many other communities, has ordinances that place residency restrictions on former sex offenders. But our guest writes that these rules are so restrictive that it's nearly impossible for them to find housing in the city.
Jabril Faraz writes for the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service, and he joins us now from our studio in Milwaukee. Jabril, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
Well, a lot of municipalities have these kind of restrictions on where registered sex offenders can live. Can you talk through what kind of restrictions are in place right now in Milwaukee?
Essentially, sex offenders, convicted sex offenders, can't live within 2,000 feet of parks, schools, recreation trails, other places where children tend to congregate.
And the city has a map up that I think you linked to in one of your pieces. What does that map look like for where a registered sex offender can and can't live?
Well, there's a lot of red on that map. Essentially, there are 55 addresses in the city of Milwaukee. That's 117 units, according to a DOC field supervisor, where sex offenders can legally live. These are in those areas that are outside of that 2,000 feet.
But that doesn't mean these are places that are available. These are places that could be occupied by someone else living there now.
Yes. Some of these locations are single-family homes where there are actually homeowners living in the houses. Others were are apartment buildings where the people have said, you know, we're not going to rent to sex offenders. So essentially, it's very, very hard for anyone who has been convicted of a sex offense previously to find housing now.
And in your piece, you profile one person who was convicted of a sex offense, a sex-related offense, is out of prison now, is still on parole, I believe. Could you talk through his story and his quest to find housing?
Yeah. He was released from prison in June of this year. Essentially, since then, he's been living in a van on the city streets with his current girlfriend. They've kind of been going from place to place, trying to find secluded spots where they can sleep. And it's been difficult for them. You know, it's tough, and they said, you know, we've seen other homeless people out here. He called himself a survivalist. They actually have rigged up this van with some high-powered batteries that help to charge their sleep apnea machines or their breathing machines. Both of them have sleep apnea. He installed an air conditioner in the side of the van over the summer, you know, during the hot months. But from what it sounds like, it's been really trying for them.
Talking to Jabril Faraz about registered sex offenders, he writes that requirements, restrictions on where they can live, not in the proximity of schools, playgrounds, elsewhere, has made it effectively impossible for many of them to find any housing. Jabril, though, this is not a group of people that a lot of people will feel sympathy for, registered sex offenders, and a lot of people, families in particular, would say this is good. We wouldn't want them living in our neighborhoods near schools. Given that, is there much appetite for anyone to change these restrictions?
You're definitely right. But, you know, the first thing is that there are a lot of misconceptions when it comes to sexual offenders. First, these are former offenders, people who have served their time, nationwide, only 5% of sex offenders reoffend in the first 3 years. In talking to the legal director for the ACLU of Wisconsin, you know, he said other people get a second chance. You know, murderers get a second chance, but these are somehow people who we've decided that it's okay to essentially look at as pariahs. The second part of that is that really it's not safer when in places where these residency restrictions are in place. It might appear to provide more safety, but really when you end up with a large homeless population, and the DOC field supervisor I talked to said that 40 of the individuals that he's supervising are currently homeless, And when that happens, and these people are all tracked by GPS, but it, you know, it makes the situation more uncertain, and with that uncertainty comes, you know, you have less access to support systems, less access to treatment, and essentially it makes it more likely that these people are going to reoffend.
And supposing you've got one of these former offenders under supervision, as you describe it, and they're trying to comply by the terms of their parole, their restrictions, do these conditions make it more difficult for them to follow the rules?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the man that I spoke with, he said, you know, he's expected to get employment. He said, there's no way that I can get employment right now, living on the street, really having no real sense of security. In addition to that, he has weekly check-ins that he has to do with his parole officer and treatment classes that he needs to attend, all of which is made more difficult based on his situation.
So what kind of solutions are people offering out there? Are there any alternatives to the status quo as it is right now?
Well, as far as the city of Milwaukee goes, in the near future, it sounds like this might not be changing. The city clerk made it clear that it is not the city of Milwaukee's responsibility to find housing for sex offenders, and that when this law was passed, it was essentially passed to keep sex offenders from being dumped in Milwaukee. The 18 municipalities, other municipalities in Milwaukee County, had already instituted ordinances of this kind before, and this was a city of Milwaukee response to those. There were 89% of the sex offenders in Milwaukee County were living in Milwaukee last year, but something needs to be done. And Lena Taylor, the state senator, her office is looking at preliminary research around legislation of this sort on the state level, and they hope to bring a bill in 2016.
Have there been legal challenges in the past to these kind of residency restrictions?
There have, although they haven't necessarily been successful. The ACLU legal director for Wisconsin was involved in a challenge to a similar ordinance in South Milwaukee a few years ago, but in the end, that challenge was unsuccessful.
So what's next? When you talk to the person you profile, what are they looking ahead to this winter?
Well, and that's an interesting question, because this man, actually, he's living on the streets of Milwaukee, which, you know, he would say, this is my permanent residence. And these places that he's been forced to park are inside those areas that are essentially blocked off, that the city doesn't want sex offenders living in. Now, the Milwaukee Police Department said that homeless sex offenders cannot technically be in violation of the ordinance, but at the same time, this gentleman is not being allowed to leave the city of Milwaukee. He committed his offense in Oak Creek. He wants to go back to Oak Creek. A detective I talked to there said he should be able to, and the field supervisor basically echoed that. But at the same time, the DOC is still not allowing him to leave. So it's a really sticky situation, and he said he's worried with the winter coming up. You know, like I said, he described himself as a survivalist. He said he's going to keep trying. Obviously, they're going to push through, but he's worried, especially about the cold.
Jabril, thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's Jabril Faraj. He's a reporter with the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service, talking about residency restrictions on former sex offenders.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.